Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, oh God, you're so wonderful and magnificent. Lord, my heart, Lord, I'm just so thankful for, Lord, the calling you placed in me. Father, that gene. Lord, it's so wonderful to know you and, Father, serve you. Lord, bless each and every one of us, Lord. Each and every one that's made the effort to come this evening. Lord, look into our hearts as you walk amongst us, Father.
Yes.
Lord, you promise you'd be here. So, Lord, with great anticipation, we sit waiting for your word to come. Lord, grant us revelation is my prayer. Lord, as we, Father, the few songs you've put on my heart, pray that you would just clear our hearts and our minds, Father, and settle us down for we'd be ready for when you do speak. Lord, we ask this in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Like the in our only blue books. Amen. Page 124. Just a closer walk with him. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
that closer walk with him.
Yes,
dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Page 45. Leaning on his everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting.
So safe and secure. Praise his name. Page 53 over there, page there. Sweet by and by. Amen.
There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father. To prepare us a dwelling place there. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that to our bountiful Father above.
by and by. What a day we have to look forward to. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you come up for the offering? Blessing, if you will. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. Praise His name. How many have something on your heart, need, request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Josh, could you take the request this evening?
Be seated.
Hey, would you have a song for that, Karen? All righty. Somebody else got something on your heart? Amen. All righty. Let's all stand then. We'll sing a little chorus.
Only Believe.
Amen. Ask our brother to come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Only believe.
Sing that little chorus is a special to Him. I love Him. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Just worship Him. Amen. I love Him. Because We should be. Amen. For what he's done for us. We bow our heads. Precious Lord, we truly are thankful and grateful, Lord, for the desire that you placed in our heart. And the Lord, you came looking for me. Lord, each one of us standing here tonight can truly see that. And Lord, the great price that you paid for us and what you've done for us. And Lord, how we should just have such a thanksgiving in our heart and a praise and a worship back to you. And Father, we just ask your blessings tonight upon your precious word as we'll rehearse, Lord, and renew our minds to these things that you have spoken. The Lord, through your precious word, that Father, may it encourage us, Lord, strengthen us, cause us to keep pressing this battle, Lord, and not to give up, but Lord, to dig in with all that's in us, to Father, to see these things finished that you've left for us to do. Yes. And Father, we just commit ourselves unto you for service now, and I just ask you to have your way. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to John, the 15th chapter. Amen. I know it's been a few services back that the last one I took, but I'd like to just kind of rehearse a little bit of a couple of the quotes. And then I had a few more I would like to just read to go along with it. But we were talking about that grain ripening and us coming to maturity, and how we should, what we're looking for,
yes,
the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure we're standing in that place with the evidence showing forth, knowing with that great assurance, as our pastor was speaking of the token this morning,
yes, that
life is on display. Amen.
Yes.
But here in John 15, we'll just start at the first verse. And then, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. May the Lord add the blessings in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And that purging is happening. Amen. Every day with God's precious word, each time we come in and gather around it, God is purging that fruit and trimming the branches just a little bit back closer to make sure that the life that's in that vine is truly carrying forth. You know, as we were talking about that, I had read quite a few quotes and things, and what had led me to these things was, I was listening to Brother Vail, and it wasn't a message, but he was just speaking, and having been a friend of Brother Branham, and he said that Brother Branham, right at the end of the Church Age book, when they had finished getting it together, they'd went to breakfast, and Brother Branham at that time was telling him the burden. You know, it was getting close to his time to leave, and he must have knew it. But he was expressing to Brother Vail the urgency that was in his heart to get these things printed and to get it into word form for that little bride. And he was just saying how that, you know, when people, the pressure, and he was pleading with Brother Vail to keep the brothers and things kind of pushed back a little bit to give him some space. Because he said every time the Lord begins to deal with him and he would get something and trying to put it into word, you know, and to put it down, and then somebody would come and it would knock it from him, and it would take him days to get back in that channel, to get back to where God could continue to show him these things. And what an urgency. And when you see the urgency that he had for the work that was left him, and we see that same urgency in Jesus as he kept saying, I must be about my Father's business. He had a work to do. He was sent for a purpose. And each one of us has got to see that we've been sent for that same purpose today. We're not to be a prophet, but we've been sent to be an expression of Jesus Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And all that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into that church. And we're recipients of that, but by God's grace, you've got to see yourself in that. And you know how often it is as you look around and see, there might be a bunch of us sitting here tonight, or in the morning, you know, any time we gather, But it's an individual affair. God is speaking to individuals. And one may see it and one may not. But you've got to be determined in yourself that, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to be that one that will surrender my life to you, Lord, that you could have the full preeminence in this life live and manifest through me. As we see more and more each day as things go by, but Jesus also speaking, and just keep it in mind, it's not what you're going to do. He said he did the purging and would make sure. But it is in 16th verse of that, he also said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And then whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. So just think of that as we likened it to the grass and the stuff, every seed that God's ever predestinated, it's reproduced exactly what the life that God put in it. And it's the same way today. God's life in you will reproduce the life that Jesus Christ lived through this Bible, that was made manifest through the book of Acts, through those disciples and the apostles and prophets all down through time. And what we've seen manifested through the prophet of this last day, a life lived. And don't get your attention focused on signs and wonders. We're talking about humility, the spirit being manifested, love and honor, brotherly kindness, meekness, temperance, patience, all of these things that Jesus was and expressed compassion. Amen. Everything that was there in you and I today, yes, manifesting forth and showing forth to those around us. But I had read this. This was in the Church Age book. And I'm not going to read everything that I read, but just a paragraph. Harvest time. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though there is a real acceleration in the ripening, there is consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth? Is that not exactly what we're seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to communist and various other types of belief. Her numbers are not increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine, what about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answer altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach or desirous of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual? Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered into the ark and the door was shut? But yet God tarried in judgment 7 days, and no one was literally turned to God in those silent days, and yet it is the harvest time. And there must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and tares to maturity. And the tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn to people from the word. But the wheat also must mature. And to her, God is sending the prophet messenger with a vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. And they will hear him as the first church heard Paul, and she will mature in the word. Until becoming a word bride, the mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon pure word and faith. Yes, and oh my, may we truly attend. We've seen God has sent that messenger. May we truly hearken to the message that was brought. Amen. Amen. And that's what our pastor was doing this morning, bringing it and breaking it down to show us the importance. And you know, many don't see the importance in the word of God. They've let it just become, as we've seen, just a tradition. It's just become a habit, a way of life, something to do. But God predestinated a seed, and he said it would reproduce Jesus Christ. Oh my, he would have a bride that would not fail. And you know, you see, many of us come from different places. We've all showed up and gathering under the word here in this little building, but we're asking God by his mercy and grace. There's something in us crying out, Lord, there's another step, there's a higher rung in you, Lord, and I'm looking for that through your precious word, that maturity would truly be seen in my life. The identification that he spoke of. Look at all the words that the prophet spoke on identification and God being revealed in his own word. Yes. And oh my, what for? That a people could rest assured and have that assurance. Just as much assurance as that day in Egypt when them little firstborn could go out there and look up over that door and see that blood smeared on the mantle. It's no different today. The little elect will have just as much assurance knowing that the life that's being lived through her is lining up in this precious word. Amen. Oh, what a blessed place to be. But may we truly press and push our way and lay aside the things of this world and anything that would hinder us, and truly keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. But let me see if I can. I'm going to get too lengthy if I ain't careful. Let's see here. We'll skip that one there. This here was in the message. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. That was in the Church Age book on page 375. And this one was also, this is in the Anointed Ones at the End Time, and this is just paragraph 74 and 75. And if a church says they believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny His power, deny His works, deny His word, and if the church that believes in Jesus Christ, the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ, it'll have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it isn't, no matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestinated from the roots, it will bear grapefruit every time, or something different. But if it's a predestinated life in the roots, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the word coming up through the root, which He is the root, the beginning of time. And notice, but it's what they produce that tells the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. Amen. And as we see and we're looking for that ripening, we're truly watching our own lives and seeing the vindication come forth, bringing that assurance and bringing each thing that Jesus spoke to life, to a reality. You know, it's easy to pick up the message and just read these things. And you know, as you listen to many things the prophet said, and see, I was listening to why it had to be shepherds coming down the road last night. And some of the things the prophet was saying as I was driving, and it's just amazing to see what God has given us in this hour. To stop and look and to see how in the pages of God's word He hides Himself. Yes. And you know, Brother Branham said that He can hide Himself from the most wisest person, but He reveals Himself to the humble. Yeah. And oh my, to look back at the time when Jesus' birth took place here on earth, and to think about that, of all of the priests and the scribes and everyone that was standing there knowing that He was to come. Mm-hmm. And he read everything that was laying there. But yet when He came so humble to lay in a manger, and then it was later in life that when the wise men came, when the shepherds, but look at how simple God put that all together. Yes. And how nothing, the greatest king on earth that ever was, had come to earth for a short period to do a work. And look at how they did, rejected Him, turned Him down. They wanted nothing to do with Him because He didn't come the way they thought it ought to be. And a lot of times it's the same today. They're still rejecting Him because they don't like the word the way that it was He said it would be. And they still turn Him out just the same. And oh, may we not be one that's turning Him out today, but may we truly welcome in every word. Though, oh yes, as that purging's taking place, oh, sometimes it may feel a little rough. Sometimes may have to hang our head in shame and say, Lord, I have not been toeing the mark. But by God's grace, there's something down on the inside. When that life is growing, He can't help it. Though the winds come and may bend it over. The sun may start to scorch it just a little bit. Maybe the rain's really dampening it down. But there's something in there. It'll straighten right back up every time and continue its journey. And oh, may we truly let the light of God's precious word shine on in our hearts. This is in the God Hiding Himself in Simplicity. Preached March 1763, paragraph 237. The church is Christ's body. And it's an individual amongst other individuals that is born in the kingdom of God. And that comes from the inside out. It's automatically lived. You don't ask a sheep to bear wool or manufacture wool. I mean, that sheep don't have to manufacture wool and say, no, my master wants me to have some wool this year. I've got to get busy. No, the only thing he has to do is just remain a sheep. That's right. And the wool will automatically, he will bear it. And we're not asked to manufacture fruits. We're supposed to produce fruit, see? Bear fruits. We're supposed to bear fruit. And as long as you are a fruit tree of God with God's word will vindicate itself. And it will bear fruit as long as the word is in there. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. See? Yes. You don't manufacture it. You work. You work yourself not up to it. It's just actually there, and it goes on and on. And oh, that's why, as our pastor said this morning, how important it is that you must be sure you've been born again. Oh, make sure that that life, that seed has been quickened, and it's laying in there and germatized, and it will reproduce. These were, as Brother Brandon was talking about that ripening, and this was in God's Only Provided Place of Worship. He said, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand. Mm-hmm. But friends, listen. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. And our faith isn't ripened intellectually. We're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that He showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there. But oh, how the church needs to lay in His presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the Spirit so that it can bathe down. And sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh. You have to break in like that because you've got to clench a nail to make it hold. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated. And then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes its rapture. And He was speaking about the going beyond the curtain of time right before that. And that's why He was saying the people will be like it was there. Love one another. Everybody was in unity, one accord.
Yes.
The sweetness of the Holy Spirit flowing from breast to breast. Oh my, don't you long to see it again.
Yes.
Amen. In its fullness. And He says this was in God's Only Provided Place of Worship. Now church, we're teaching now, but remember, when you leave here and start moving out of the shuck, you're going into the grain. But lay in the presence of the Son. Don't add to what I've said and don't take away from what I've said, because I speak the truth as far as I know it. As the Father has given me, don't add to it, just say what I said. And to think of it is, just tell the people to come to seek the Lord Jesus. And then you yourselves lay right in His presence and just make love to Him. Oh Lord Jesus, Son of God, I love You. Tender my heart, Lord, and take away all filth and the love of the world, and let me live holy in this present world before You. Oh, what a desire to have, what a longing to have, to where it's truly pulsating in your heart, and it's something that you think about all day, every day, wherever you're at, working, driving, traveling, wherever you may be going, it's present in your heart. When you're dealing with the public, every situation that arises, if you want that life and that love to be seen from you, showing forth His life, truly living in you, manifesting. Not something you can do in yourself, but it truly takes Him to master every situation. Now this is move on into a couple different quotes. And I know these are a little bit lengthy here, but it's the best if we just let Him put it together the way He said it and just let it refresh it in your heart. It'll do more than as many words as I could speak in the amount of time that I may have. But here He started about paragraph 44. And this just read it down to about paragraph 58. And this is modern events made clear by prophecy. And this was also preached in 65, December the 6th. The shuck held it, and now the shuck pulls away, and it has to. And remember, 20 years has passed by, and no more denominations has come out of it, and it won't. We're at the end of the denomination, and the wheat's taken shape. But what's the matter with the wheat now? It must lay in the presence of the Son to ripen before the combine picks it up. And now the events that we see taking place, it's absolutely showed in the Bible of every age. We think we're all out of cater, but we're not. Everything is moving just exactly with God's Word. And the Bible is a different book from any other sacred book. There's no book like it, the Bible, because the Bible is God's Word, God in word form. And does a word is a thought expressed? And God's thinking expressed it. In His words through the prophets, they wrote the Bible, which is in word form, and Jesus called it a seed. And any seed will bring forth of its kind if it's in the right condition and the right atmosphere. And the book of the prophecy is foretelling future events, and the book contains the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't add to it or take from it, and every revelation must come by it, you see. It must be the Word. And so the people say, I had revelation. And yes, we know Joseph Smith and many had revelations and things, but was contrary to the Word. It's got to come according to the Word, and if it comes from God because it's to vindicate or to prove God's presence, and He foreknew all these things, being by His foreknowledge He foreordained, it's called the Bible, predestinated every age to its place, and every man to its place, and every messenger to its place. He is God. And the devil ain't pulling nothing over on him. And he's God and he has ordained everything to take place. And it falls just exactly in line with his word. So if we can see by his word what age and what time we're living, you'll see it right here in the Bible of this age that we're supposed to take, what's supposed to take place at this time. In the other books, we find lots of books they call sacred books and so forth. And I've read the Quran and many others, but you see their sacred books are only a code of ethics, of morals and theology. But this book is a prophet. It's a different from any other book. Yes. The Bible is the word of God foretelling the future, and it foretells because it's forewarned. If God sends anything and he says and promised it in the Bible that he would do anything upon the earth, until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. That's Amos 3:7. And God cannot lie, he reveals it. And that's been his way of doing it all down through the ages. He's never failed to do it. And now we're promised in the last days for this to be restored. There will be no church, no denomination, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. They'll never, in their modern conditions, ever take this church to a bride. They can't do it. They fail. They're too much at one another's throats, and worldliness has creeped in and so forth, and they died right in their tracks. Yeah. And don't never forget that. These examples happened out here. We can see them. We can look back and see what happened to each one of those ages. We see where the worldliness crept in. And so when the Holy Spirit is warning us, don't be desensitized. It's crying out to, don't let the world take you over. Don't pattern after the world. It's Satan's same pattern that he's ever used. He's trying it again. And more cunning and more craftiness trying to bring the world in amongst you. He'll try to get you to be more like him. But you watch, it'll never happen. God said he would raise up a standard. And God's going to have a people that will truly not allow the things of this world to overtake them. And to get them wrapped up in the cares of life so much that they cannot follow the plan of God and to bring forth that life. He says, they're too much at one another's throat, and worldliness has crept in and so forth, and they died right in their tracks, and God knows that. And to reveal this word, one say, well, I've got this, and bless God, it's like that. That's just the way it was when Jesus came the first time. Everyone has a doctrine, and everyone has this. It'll have to be something sent to us from God, and God promised it. The only way he'll do it is to keep his same pattern. He promised to send us in this last days, according to Malachi 4, a prophet upon the earth that would turn the hearts of the people back, the hearts of the children back to the apostolic fathers again. He promised, that's in his word, Luke 17 and many other places, he promised it. And what would he do in these last days to bring this thing to a vindicated word? And see, a man can say anything, but lest God interprets that word. See, now we have our own interpretation and we say it means this and this one. Methodist says this, the Baptist say this, the Pentecostal says this, the oneness says this, the two-ness says that. And oh my, there you are. But God don't need no interpreter. He is his own interpreter. And he interprets his own word by vindicating it in the age that it's purposed for. And the age that it's given for. And we're not living in a Pentecostal age. We're living in another age. We're not living in the Methodist age. We're living in another age. We're living on up here to the bride age. The calling out of the church and getting it together for a rapture. That's the age we're now living. And to my honest opinion, that's exactly the truth. And this book is a book of prophecy. Its believers are commanded to honor it and to read it and to believe its author. For every word that's written there must come to pass. You think about that. There's a lot of word land right there. And all none of it can pass away. It's all eternal. And it's all going to come to the fullness that God said would be. And we can read it both ways. There's the joy and the consolation that comes from knowing that my life is bearing the fruit that this book says should be. Of what that predestinated seed's going to be as it comes to its fullness. But we also know what the end is for those that fail to obey the precious word that's laying here. And oh, may we truly press with all that's in us to make sure that that life is being manifested and vindicated through us. Letting God have his way, laying before him tenderly, saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And letting him take the word and search our hearts and take and beat out of us maybe an idea that we've had, something we've held on to from a past idea or a past creed or something somebody told me. Yes. But truly lay it aside and say, Lord, what does your word say? And Lord, you reveal it to me. Amen. We've got too many people that put too much focus on what someone else has said. what someone else has told them, where it's come from, or brother so-and-so, he preached it just like this, and brother so-and-so, he preached it like this right here. It don't matter. It's got to come back to the Word. And if what brother so-and-so preached matches right here, amen to it. But God sent a prophet that there was no more loose ends, and it come in simplicity that a child could understand it if you will but take it in that order. Amen. You know, sometimes the human mind, because we're so apt to make excuses for ourselves when we can't do something. Mm-hmm. And we do begin to fall into the same rut with God's precious word. When we can't toe the mark, we've got an excuse. And you can look down through this message and you can see it in church after church where for some reason they just had to make an excuse for the why things were the way it was. And they buttered it over and covered it over and said, it's okay for it to be like that because of this. But God's word didn't change. It laid right there. And there was no confusion in it. It's truth right down the line. And may God put the strength in us that no matter what happens, many circumstances in life will come. But may we not sway, though it be our brother, may it be our wife or our husband, father, mother, it doesn't matter. May we not sway our decision from Amen. What God has revealed to us. But hold firm. Yes. The Lord, I will serve you. I will be one of them, Lord, that comes to this full maturity, the ripening of that grain.
Oh, hallelujah.
He says here, he says, its believers are commanded to honor it, to read it, and to believe its author. For every word that's written here must come to pass. Let me drop on down. The same yesterday, it was Jesus Christ was in Noah. It was Jesus Christ in Moses. It was Jesus Christ in David. It was Jesus Christ in Joseph. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's Jesus Christ among his people today, doing the things that he promised he would do in this age. It's Jesus Christ. But the church has become so starchy and so far away. Like the brother said here, our churches are becoming the same way until we've got to have something to shake us back to the Word.
Yes.
And how do we know it's going to do it? It's got to come according to God's own plan. It cannot come by laymen. It will not come by businessman, and it cannot come by churches. God has laid down his plan. Amen.
Amen.
It must be a seed to begin with. Put it in the right ground, and it will bring forth of its kind. Amen. But oh, as we said, we've seen in this last day, people are seeing that it's not there, but they want to go back to, they're looking back in history. How can we pump it back up? How can we get people excited again? How can we get people enthused? But it's all about not that, but get enthused about what God said that little bride would be. And oh my, you know, sometimes maybe as the word's coming, it's the sun gets hot in the harvest time and it don't let up. You know, sometimes in the summer, you get a cool, breezy day and you get a little bit of rain. But you know, a lot of times when you get into August, it just seems like the old sun just won't give up. It's just hot every day, just baking on you. But that's what God takes to pull the greenness from us. And oh my, as we see God's precious word, you may say, oh, it just seems like it's baking and baking. It is, but thank God for it and just cry out, Lord, continue to tenderize me and let it bake it out of me, Lord, till I be exactly like you. You know, when you, I think of the little cross there that the blacksmith built, how many times the old hammer has to strike that old hot iron?
Yes.
A blow after blow after blow. And you can't get tired and you can't slow down. While it's red hot, you got to keep striking it. You got to work it while you can. And that's the way God's word is. Time is running out. The end is drawing nigh. And oh my, we must be ready. And the urgency of the Holy Spirit is crying out. It's showing forth. But there is a people that's responding to that urgency. There's something down in her heart that says, Lord, that's what I'm waiting on. It's what I want, Lord, is for you to take and beat all the greenness out of me. That all the reflection of Jesus Christ would be seen. Amen. It's happening. And by God's grace, I pray each one of us is finding ourselves with that desire on the inside, that longing, Lord, I want to be more like you.
Amen.
Not, oh, I can't believe it's got to be this hard. I can't believe it's got to be like that. If you ever have that idea or that thought approach to God's word, you better cry out to Jesus Christ that he would change your attitude, because what he said it would be, it will be.
Yes.
And oh, may we truly yield to it. Mm-hmm. Amen. This was in the message, Jehovah Jireh.
Let's see here.
Yeah, we can skip that. Amen. Hallelujah.
we'll read this. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Been about a half hour. But this was in the, this is in Jehovah Jireh in paragraph 140. But remember, it'll only come to the royal seat alone. The coming of Jesus will be so secret. The rest of people will know nothing about it. Do you know, they probably won't be too many, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved by water. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of the Man. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, but few they will be that find it. You say there will be millions there. Yeah, all through the ages, redeemed, sure. But that rapturing place where we're standing now, what will take place one of these days? They're going to say, now you know, how are we over? Here we are over in the tribulation period. And I thought that the church was to be raptured up before the tribulation period, and that's the truth. Not the church, the bride. The church goes through the tribulation period, but not the bride. No, sir, she is redeemed. She has nothing to be purified by. She is already pure. Yes. Why? Because what did Jesus say in that 15th chapter of John? Let me see here. I read the second verse, but if you read it, he says, but now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Yes. The word cleaning you, purging you, taking you over, making you that pure and spotless now. Yes. Not later, but it's doing the cleaning now. As it's often been expressed, one of these days all we're going to lay down is this robe of flesh. Mm-hmm. Oh my, the real me is going to continue on. Amen. Yes. And the desires aren't going to change just because a rapture took place. But the desires that I have now will be the same desires that I have there. By God's grace, I'll lose the earthly natural desires. Maybe had the hungry, I don't know. There's things about, you know, those kind of things I'm not going to, we don't know. Brother Branham said things, we don't know what that may be over there. I just know I want to make sure that I'm there. Yeah. I don't want to put my idea, well, this is how children's going to be born in the millennium. You know, people fuss and try to figure things out so much that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Right. God's got a great plan. He said he would reveal himself throughout eternity. But let us focus that today my life matches what God's word said I would be. Right. And whatever will be in that forever, I'll be part of it. Amen. Mm-hmm. It will never fail. It'll continue on.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He says, the Holy Spirit has come into her and purified her and took away all the filth and the gum of the world. And she believes that word and become part of it. That's right. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing doing. It's the bride becomes out of the church, and there she's that's there she, and she, there and she is that's called the remnant of the woman's seed, is left to go through the tribulation period. You know, one time after all the scriptures, Isaiah, Malachi, Isaiah 40, prophesying of the coming of John the Baptist, John came just exactly in line with them scriptures, and even the disciples come to Jesus and said, why say the scribes, the scriptures, that Elias must first come? And he said he has already come, and you didn't know it. He has come, and they did to him just exactly what it was supposed to do, and you didn't know it. And now there might be one of these days you could say, what about the rapture? It's already passed, and you didn't know it. There will be two in bed. One will be taken, one will be left. You know, there is about several hundred people disappear on the earth every day anyhow, you know, and they can't make out for it. And the thing of it is, the sadness, the people will go right on preaching and believing they're getting saved. And Noah entered into the ark, and the door shut behind him with the hand of God. The sun came up and went down 7 days before anything happened. And the people went right on preaching, right on making fun and everything else, not knowing that their only mercy they ever had was closed off from them. Think, ministers will still be educating preachers and setting them out. And things like that going on, just the church moving on completely without mercy, without anything, cut off completely. The rapture is gone. Let him that's filthy be filthy still, the scripture says, already come and you didn't know it. Think about it tonight, friend, and watch what's going on. And that's where the urgency of the Holy Spirit is crying out. Make sure, be ready. Make sure this is in your life. Because, you know, if you stop and ponder that, it's going to happen just the way he said. And what a place and a time to be. To realize that that's where you've wasted your time. In education and trying to, well, I think it's going to be this way. I think it's going to be like that. I don't think Brother Branham meant just what he said. He's going to have to straighten that up when he comes back. No, God said what he meant to say. And he delivered to the bride what we need for today.
Yes, amen.
And whatever God will do in the future, if you're matching it up today, as I said, whatever he does, I'll be right where I need to be when that time comes and takes place. Whatever God does, I don't know what God will do. I'm not a prophet. All I can do is tell you what the prophet that he sent, the messenger said, prepare and make ready, for the rapture is going to happen. And God's laid out the plan and give us the directions and the ingredients and the prescriptions we need to fulfill and to be standing exactly where God wants us to be. But if we get in that place to where we're truly led by the Spirit, truly following his leadership, tender and moving to the Holy Spirit, whatever God wants to do will happen. Amen. But if you're not in that place, you'll miss it a million miles, and we won't ever see what happened. But God has given us the way, but may we take heed to it. And may we truly realize the soberness and the sincerity of what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. Each one of us, it's a warning. It's going forth. It's trimming us, getting us ready. But each one of us has to make sure for ourselves. It's easy to maybe look over and say, oh, I think that's for Brother Josh. It's his portion today. But what about my portion for today? Yes, oh, don't let me miss my portion because I was looking at someone else's doorstep. But may we focus to ourselves, as the scripture says, examine yourselves with God's precious word. Lord, let me find myself there. Amen. Amen. Pray you can take something from those few words. It's God's word, and if you just rehearse it, if nothing else, go back and get in there and say, I'm going to prove Brother Timothy wrong. I'm going to read that whole message and find out where he messed up. That'd do you good. Amen. It'll straighten us up. Hallelujah. It's good. You know, a lot of times when you listen to someone else minister or you hear something said in a conversation, how much time it'll cause you to go looking just to make sure. I don't know if I've heard that quite like that. And you go digging through there, you'll find all kinds of things. Amen. It's good for you. May we be digging more and more, not just in the messages, but in God's holy Bible. The word that's laying here. Oh, it's good for us. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Just sing that little chorus to me. He is so wonderful. Amen. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful.
Timothy was speaking there toward the end about, you know, searching and reading and see where he went wrong or somebody else went wrong or whatever, and make him get in there and really search things. I have purposely at times not answered people's questions and told them to search for it for the purpose of what else they would go in there and hunt for and see, just for that purpose. You know, that way they just ain't leaning on something I said, you know, but they're able to go into the scripture, read it for themselves, go into the messages, read it for themselves. Because people kind of have a habit sometimes, just tell me the answer, just tell me the answer. Go in there where the answer is at and search it yourself. Right. Put more time into it, you see, and see what God has in there for you. So that's just a real good thought, you know. So we appreciate the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I love him, for he's so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. Is he to you?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we ought to be a people that just love God with all our heart. I mean, with all he's done for us as individuals, we ought to appreciate him. There ought to be that true worship from the down depths deep in our heart, where we would lift our hands and worship him and praise him. You know, false teachings has taken worship away. false teachings that took people from raising their hands and worshiping God. False teaching. Even David himself, in the book of Psalms, he said, I lift my hands and praise God for the word that I love. Oh my. Don't I love the word? Oh my. But some people think, oh, David didn't know what he was talking about. But David was led by the Spirit of God. David's worshiping God. Many times. And how many times Brother Brandon would say, let's all lift our hands now and sing, I love him. Oh my, how dare would I take and try to get a people not even raise their hands and worship God? You see, people get so bound up in creeds and ideas and false doctrines. Brother Timothy mentioned it. Sometimes just because a man said it, you know? Traditions. They're ideas, educated ideas. God is not interested in educated ideas. He's interested in people living by revelation. God revealing himself to them and living by the word of God. Oh, my. Just thought we'd throw it in there for an extra bonus. Amen. But God is good. I love him. Amen. Can we sing I love him one more time before we dismiss? All our hands raised in the house. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Precious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for the precious Word of God that we've had our hearts and minds renewed, stirred again, Lord. We're so appreciative of it. Lord, may we be a people that just so surrender to you and just completely let the Word have the preeminence in our lives, not yield to some kind of a man's ideas or theories. Lord, I was thinking even again the other day, and know of different times, Lord, where people in the past, especially ministers, they may have had conversations with Brother Branham. And Lord, where those conversations was twisted and turned for that man's own glory. And Lord, many a people, good people, has fallen for the things man has twisted. But Father, whenever a man's words is coming forth, and if it doesn't line up with the word, you've showed us, Father. Push that aside and take the way of the word. Whatever you have showed us, Lord, through the word, the scriptures, and the things the prophet has brought. And as the prophet said, say what these tapes say. Because man has twisted things so many times and thinking he had a revelation. But Father, may we be a people. May that little bride be the people in this hour. That, Lord, it'll stay with that word and live by the revealed word. And it be fully manifested through her life. I often think back again, Lord, what the prophet said. What we are here is what we'll be there. And I thought about that, Lord, when I've seen where people have twisted this thing of even worshiping you. If we can't even worship you here, how would we ever worship you there? Lord, it would have to be that way. It isn't, as the prophet showed us, Father, it ain't all this changing going to take place once we get there. The changes is taking place now. The only thing we're going to change is bodies. We're going to have a theophany and a glorified body. But Lord, that old gene, that soul, oh God, we're so thankful for that eternal life. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to open our understanding of the Word of God and that we would live by it, walk by it, think by it, and talk by it, and not let any man's ideas indoctrinate us to, Lord, take us away from the Word of God or deceive us. We pray now that thy will be done as we part from this place. Keep us safe, Lord, as we make our journeys home. And we We ask that you just help us, if it be your will, Lord, to come back gathered again next time. Again, to give you the glory and the praise and the honor. To worship you, Lord, and to gather around the Word of God. We ask it again to your glory, to your honor, and your praise. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Love him, saints, with all your heart. He's done so much for us. Remember, he gave his life on Calvary. Terrible, terrible pain and suffering. But he gave his life for us. And I'm so thankful for it. That's what makes me raise my hand, to glorify him. I will praise him for the word that he has given me. I will love him for the word that he has given me. Oh, how great thou art. God richly bless you.